You and your family are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. As we all go through this difficult season and time, today, Family Pastor Dustin Agard will be going over three key points that we all need to do when we're going through a valley in life. It doesn't mean that there is an absence of pain. It just means there is a presence of peace. Our scripture text comes from Psalms chapter 23, starting in verse 1. Today's message is entitled, How Do We Walk Through the Valley?
Hello, Journey. It is so good to be with you today. So glad that you're here. And on behalf of all of our staff, our pastors, our volunteers, we just want to say we love you. We miss you. And we hope that you're safe and staying safe. We can't wait to worship with you in person. And so we're excited to see what God has in store with us. But before we dive in, I just want to give a shout out to all the teachers and the parents. There are so many parents that just overnight became a full-time teacher as well. And I just want to say, parents, you're doing a great, great job. Hang in there. Don't try to unionize. Don't try to strike. We need you now more than ever. And I saw this post about one parent. I thought this was really good. This is what it said. It said, today my son got dressed in his nice clothes and said it was picture day at his school, which of course is our kitchen. It was either a very sweet moment or a first sign that the kid is starting to crack. Either way, I charged him $45 for a set of 15 pictures. I thought that was good. So parents, listen, we know that you're just trying to make it any way possible. And teachers, my wife's a kindergarten teacher. I know you guys are working, teachers, educators, you're working more than ever behind the scenes. You're learning how to figure out all this online. So I just want to say to all the teachers, thank you for what you're doing. Your investment in our kids matters, and it's making a big difference. And so we just want to say thank you. We appreciate you. We value you. And so we want to go ahead and dive in. I'm excited where this might lead. We're going to talk about how to walk through a valley. And so as we dive in, I want to share with you a story about a gentleman. He came into his kitchen one morning. And as he came in, his wife was in there, and he overlooked outside the kitchen window, and he saw his neighbor hanging up clothes on the clothesline. And he said to his wife, he said, man, why is she using horrible detergent? Clearly, her clothes are muddy and dirty. And he just noticed this and mentioned it to his wife and kind of was curious why she would hang up dirty clothes. Then the next day came, and sure enough, neighbor did the same thing, hung up some dirty clothes. And again, the gentleman in the kitchen, he says to his wife, man, I can't believe she's doing this. Does she not see that the detergent is clearly not working? And then the third day comes, same thing. Neighbor puts up clothes on the clothesline. And this time, the gentleman in the kitchen, he's just flabbergasted. He can't believe it. He said, man, I am embarrassed for my neighbor. We got to do something. And so he was just frustrated. He couldn't believe that somebody can be that foolish and not see the mud on their own clothes. And then the next day, day four, he comes into the kitchen, looks out his window, and sure enough, he sees sparkling, beautiful white clothes. Clearly, the neighbor must have read his mind and got new detergent, and he mentions that to his wife. And the wife said, no, she didn't get new detergent. I just decided to clean our windows. And here's the point. What we see in the world is based on the window we are looking at. And now is a time more than ever that we don't want to look at our neighbor's business and judge, but really focus on the windows of our soul. And what are we seeing? Because how clean or dirty the windows of our soul is determines how we see everything God's doing in and around and through us. And so today, as we walk through this idea of how do we walk through a valley, I want to share three different points that we want to talk through on how do we walk through a valley. And when I think about walking through a valley, I think one of the best scriptures there is Psalm 23. Some of you might know it, some of you don't know it. Either way, we're going to have it here available, or you could turn to your Bible. And this is what Psalm 23 says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as we talk about this idea, how to walk through a valley, we have so many different areas of our life that chances are there might be a valley in one area or another in your life. Maybe relationally you're in a valley, or maybe financially, or maybe professionally, or maybe emotionally, or maybe even spiritually. And so the very first thing that we learn when it talks about this idea of how do we walk through a valley is this. The first point is this: we need to follow the shepherd. Psalm 23, the very first thing it starts off is, the Lord is my shepherd. And the way we get through a valley is we follow the shepherd. And it goes on there in John chapter 10, Jesus makes this illustration between sheep and a shepherd. And he says that he is the shepherd and all of us are the sheep. In John 10, 3 and 4, it says this, Jesus is speaking. It says, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And there's two things that we can learn about sheep. The very first thing is that sheep are vulnerable. I mean, when you think about a sheep, you don't think this intimidating presence, right? I mean, what are they gonna do, snuggle somebody to death? I mean, sheep are not very intimidating. And so they're very, very vulnerable to all kinds of different animals they could be attacked from. And so the way that sheep are protected is they stay close to the shepherd. And maybe now more than ever, you feel vulnerable. And maybe now more than ever is when you need to stay close to the shepherd. And we don't just learn that sheep are vulnerable, but we also learn this, that sheep are also valuable. John 10, 11 says this, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You need to understand something. You have value. Not only are the sheep vulnerable, but they're valuable. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. You matter to God and you matter to us. You matter to God and you matter to us. You have so much more value than you could ever imagine. I remember when I was in middle school, I was in a class, and I don't remember the point of this exercise, and I don't recommend it. But in this class, we had to make these paper mache masks, and after we made them, we ended up having to pick a partner. And so I picked my best friend. He and I got together, and what happened is we would have to go walk all around the school, and one person would have this mask on that you can't see through. You can't see anything through it. And the other person wouldn't have a mask on, but they would have to give directions verbally on what their partner had to do. Now, the Bible says that God would never put you in a situation where you would have more temptation than you could handle. However, I just want you to know, as a middle school boy, that was too much temptation not to do something foolish to my best friend when he was wearing a mask. And so sure enough, he went first and I got to give directions, and I kind of misguided him and did some things, and I made a mistake. I allowed him to go first because he eventually took his revenge, and he took me to some really inappropriate and bad places and some really dangerous places, of course, the whole time unbeknownst to me. And this is what I learned that day. I will never trust a middle school boy ever again for directions on anything ever in my life, ever. And I thought about this. Isn't it good that we have a shepherd that we could trust completely, that we have a God, that we have a good shepherd in Jesus, that we don't have to worry if he's gonna lead us in some dangerous situation or do something that might be inappropriate or lead us in a wrong path, but God is always trustworthy in everywhere that he guides us. So grateful for that. This past week, I was spending my time in the Word and in my quiet time and my time with the Lord in the morning. I went through my devotion, and I'm going through a book called Experiencing God Day by Day. This is by Henry Blackaby. This is a daily devotional and really, really good. And I already knew where I was going with this message. And I ran across these words and I thought this was so good and so timely. It says this. It says, there are times when in the darkest moments of your life, the only comfort left for you is a word from God. Jesus, in his deepest pain, came when his closest friends deserted and betrayed him. What could possibly sustain him at such a dark moment? Jesus found comfort in the scriptures. And so when we're getting close to the shepherd, the way we do that in this season is, and in every season, is by clinging to the word. And I want to encourage you, if you don't have a habit of getting in the word every single day, that is your personal relationship with God. And just because the building is closed doesn't mean your relationship with Jesus is. And so we want to encourage you, sustain your personal relationship with Jesus now more than ever. And you can find devotions like this, as well as all kinds of Bible, other devotions, Bible reading plans on the YouVersion app. And the YouVersion app is on Android or Apple devices. Or you can, and they're all free, or you can go on YouVersion.com or Bible.com. All kinds of plans, all kinds of Bible reading plans, devotions. I want to encourage you to not only begin a quiet time with God, not only to re-enter into that time, but I want to encourage you something else. When you show up every morning, would you show up with a blank legal pad? And this is my challenge to you. Show up with a pen and a blank legal pad and just ask God to speak to you every morning and just see what he does. I'm convinced that if you show up with a blank canvas, God's going to fill it. That if you give God the space to speak to you, he's going to whisper something into your soul. And like the daily devotion said, there's nothing greater than a word from the Lord. And that's why the psalmist said that one day in his courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. And it's true. Just one word from God is so much greater than so many other things. So I want to encourage you, grab your legal pad, fill it, and see what God has in store. So why is it important to follow the shepherd in the valley? Because who you follow tells me where you're going. That's such a very, very great truth. Who you follow tells me where you're going. Second thing I want to encourage you to do when you are in the valley is this, is worship. I had a friend of mine once tell me that Satan, he doesn't know what to do with a valley worshiper. And I love that line. Satan doesn't know what to do with a valley worshiper. Listen, there's something sweeter. There's a sweetness to our worship when it takes place in the valley that we cannot duplicate on the mountaintops. And so when you find yourself in a valley, you have the opportunity to worship with a sweetness that we can never do any other time in our life. And so I want to encourage you, the second thing to do when you're in the valley is to worship. And right now we have all these different voices, so many different voices that are trying to grab our attention. We have social media, which is a very big voice. We have news, which is a massive voice. And then over here, we have the word of God and we have worship. And we kind of have these two different things that we're balancing. And it doesn't take long if you were to stack the two together. It doesn't take long to see that social media and the news is, it's going to come up pretty quickly that it's going to be negative. It's going to have anxiety. It's going to have fear. But at the same time, it won't take long for you, if you start to get into the word and listen to worship, for you to realize that it's so jam-packed with reminders of God's faithfulness, of his goodness, of his truth, of his kindness and mercy and grace. And when we're walking through a valley, that's what we need is we need to be reminded of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And that's what worship can do for us. I want to share with you a gift that I bought myself. I bought myself these last year. And I'm going to go ahead and say these are the greatest things that I currently own as a gift. And I'm going to tell you why. This has two functions. The first function, these are a pair of headphones. The very first function, as you can guess, is they play music, right? So all headphones do that. Nothing unique there. They play music. But the second function, I've never had a pair of headphones that have done this. The second function is they block out noise. So even when I put them on right now, I have no music on right now at all. Even when I put them on, it blocks out noise. I can't hear anything. And maybe you're thinking, no, I'm just making that up. So we'll just do a test. So right now, right where you're at, just go ahead and make some noise. Middle schoolers, go ahead and scream as loud as you can. Let's hear it. Seriously, anybody, just make some noise. Do whatever you want. Nothing. I couldn't hear anything any of y'all did. That's how good these are. And when you are trapped in a house with three kids, a dog, and a wife that is a teacher trying to do her career. Listen, these things are gold. I love these. And I think what we need to do is I think we need to put on some spiritual headphones. I think what we need to do is I think we need to turn up the volume of worship and at the same time block out any negativity and anxiety or anything that the enemy wants to whisper into your mind to mess up your theology. And so it's not just enough to crank up worship. We need to turn down the volume in some other areas like social media or the news. Now listen, I'm not saying completely turn those off. I'm not saying you need to do that. I still watch the news. I still follow on social media. I'm just not gonna allow that to be a bigger voice in my life than worship. I want worship to be the greatest voice in my life right now. As a matter of fact, a little while ago, I made a worship playlist. I call it Valley Worship Playlist. And I made this playlist a little while ago just for me personally. And this is a playlist that I want to listen to that anytime that I feel like maybe I'm approaching a valley or anytime that I find myself in a valley, this is a playlist that I want to go that I've created that is jam-packed with truths that by the time I'm done listening to it, I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I am ready to go. I absorb the truth of God. I get in on worship and now I'm ready to go. And this is just several songs and I just want you to listen to the truth spoken in these songs. The third thing that we learn to do when we are in a valley is this. Know that the valley is always more intimidating when you walk through it alone. The valley is always more intimidating when we try to go through it alone. That's why God didn't create us to be alone. God created us to be in community with Him and with each other. And yes, that might look a little bit unique right now, but our staff has done a great job. Our team has done an incredible job to move all of our groups that were meeting in person to online. As a matter of fact, we have everything set for you to join a life group right now. Maybe God's put it on your heart to lead a life group. Maybe God's put it on your heart to join a life group. But this is what I would say. Don't go through this alone. It's not healthy for your soul. It's not healthy for you. It's not how you were intended. And our prayer is that you would dive in and get connected more than any other time. And you can do that by going to journeychristian.com and it'll walk you through the steps on how you can get plugged in to an online connection group. But I believe and I'm praying that you get connected now more than any other time in your life. Because the valley is always more intimidating when we try to go through it alone. Before I was able to come to Journey several years ago, I was working at a church just outside of Atlanta. Church is called 12 Stone Church. Lead pastor there is Pastor Kevin Myers. Great leader, great pastor, great man of God. And Pastor Kevin Myers planted the church almost 35 years ago. He's from Michigan. Him and his wife are from Michigan. His wife, Marcia. And they traveled almost 35 years ago to plant 12 Stone Church just northeast of Atlanta. And about several years into it, nothing was really working for them. As a matter of fact, they gave everything they had to the church plant. They lost their home, they lost their vehicles. Eventually, they lost their health insurance. And they hit rock bottom. They basically went bankrupt in every area of their life. They just were just spent spiritually and emotionally. And finally, the senior pastor, Kevin Myers, he went back to his church in Michigan and he met with his old senior pastor and he said, hey, listen, I don't think this is gonna work out. Would there ever be a chance that you would rehire me to come back here and work? And this is what his pastor said. He said, not right now. And this is what he told him. He said, listen, if you don't have enough faith right now, you can borrow some of mine. And he sent him back to Atlanta with full of inspiration. His wife, Pastor Kevin, and his wife went back to Atlanta, ready to go. And that was almost 35 years ago. At the time, they had 82 people, and it wasn't showing any signs of growth. And now 12 Stone has 8 campuses with over 15,000 people, and they have influence all around the world. And it's absolutely incredible what God's done through them. And so, church, this is what I'll tell you. If you don't have enough faith right now, you can borrow some of mine. If you don't have enough faith right now, you can borrow somebody in a life group. You can borrow their faith. Maybe you don't have enough faith right now to walk on water. Just make sure you're in the boat. You get in the boat and you'll be around people with enough faith that you can borrow. And that's what our life groups are all about. Trying to create boats for people that may or may not have enough faith to walk on water right now. Just make sure you're in a boat. This past 7 to 10 days, I've been able to connect with a family that calls Journey their church home. This is where they worship every week. This is where they come, their church family. They love Journey. They love you. And recently, they've walked through a valley that they didn't see coming. Last Wednesday, a gentleman named Dave, he had a stroke. He gets put in the hospital. The next day, Thursday, is his wife. It's his wife's birthday. And here it's her birthday, and she can't even, because of the virus, can't even visit her husband. And here he is in the hospital, and they're unsure, and the family's just at home doing all they know to do, and that's just worship and pray and just seek God and get in the Word. And so they're doing that with everything they have. And unfortunately, he went from having a stroke to he fell into a coma. And it wasn't looking good. And several days into it, the doctors told them that, and in fact, doesn't look like he may even make it. And so for several days, they weren't able to visit. And then when the doctors thought maybe he's not going to have a chance to make it, they said, family, you can go ahead and come in and say your goodbyes. And the wife, she came into the hospital room. And she didn't turn it into a hospital room. She turned it into a sanctuary. And in her valley that she experienced this week, she began to do what she knows, and she just began to worship, and she began to pray, and she began to just to pray over and pray for her husband. And worship just filled the room. And then just a couple days ago, he passed. He didn't make it. The wife was there. And I was able to talk to the family. I was able to talk to the wife. And she said there was something supernatural that took place in the room throughout that entire time. And she went on to explain it. It's a little bit personal. I won't go into all the details. But this is the text that she sent. And I want you to listen to what she said. This is the day that her husband passed away. Her husband, who she clearly loves. She says this, she says, my precious Dave is safely in the arms of Jesus. He entered heaven at 3 a.m. The experience is beyond beautiful and peaceful. I'm on a spiritual high right now because God gave me a gift like nothing I've ever experienced before. And then she said, God is so good, with 3 exclamation points. I thought, how do you go through a valley like that and say, God is so good? How do you do that? It's because she walked close with the shepherd. The valley was very real in her life, but so was the shepherd. And I don't know what valley you're going through, and we're not saying it's not real. We're not dismissing the valley. We're just saying the shepherd's real too. And the closer we get to him in the valley, the more joy and peace we get in the midst of any circumstance. It's not that following close the shepherd removes the circumstance or removes the pain. It just invites the peace. And our prayer is that whenever you go through a valley, maybe it's now, is that the peace of God would be with you. Our prayer is that whatever you go through in the future, that the peace and the joy of God found only in following the shepherd and in his word and worshiping would be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for Dave. I thank you that he knew you, he loved you, and that right now, there is nowhere else he'd rather be than in your presence. And God, I thank you for his wife. God, I thank you for what an incredible woman of God that she is. What a bright light. And how she walked through the darkest valley, but she was so close to the shepherd. And God, I pray, would you help each of us as we go through our own valleys? Would you help us to cling to the good shepherd? Would you help us to cling to you? No matter what the pain is, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the valley is, God, would you help us to turn our valleys into sanctuaries, whether they're valleys on an island or they're valleys that are taking place in a hospital room or they're valleys in a kitchen or a living room. God, would you help us to turn our valleys into sanctuaries? And would you help us to cling to the shepherd? Because yes, we're vulnerable, but we also know that we're valuable. And so God, we love you. Thank you for the promise that you will walk with us and you will be our guide every step of the way. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, How Do We Walk Through the Valley, with family pastor Dustin Agard. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.